Luke chapter 12, verse 22. He said to his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Life is more than meat. The body is more than raiment." You know, we look today and we say people are so superficial, right? They're so shallow. But Jesus gave this message back then. You know why? Because people were superficial and shallow back then too. And they cared more about their appearance and satisfying their belly than they did about anything else. Guys, the truth is we're selfish and proud. The truth is we've got an ego and a selfish hunger. And it's hopefully it's not true of us, but our society, of people in general, we don't think beyond the moment. We think about the temporary pleasure, the temporary satisfaction, and we don't look long term. We don't think, you know, a child says, "I don't like going to school." And I know he's just a child. But you know why they don't like going to school? Because they don't understand. Number one, that's the best years of our lives, right? But they don't understand that that is the foundation for everything else. How many times I tell them, if you'll just learn how to read, then your options open up. Boy, if you can read. And I was reading for the school in Jefferson last month, I guess, and I told them, if you'll learn how to read, you can go to places you'll never visit on foot. Your imagination can take you into villages and nations and people you'll meet that you'll never meet in person. And so we've got to learn those fundamentals. Grasp that, but they still have to do it. And if we would look at our lives and consider that what we do today has an impact on tomorrow. Not just tomorrow, but tomorrow's tomorrow. Not just this week, but next year. The things we do today can change everything. And the things we do today can ruin everything. I alluded to something this morning, and it wasn't, you know, I hope I didn't give the wrong impression, but I was just thinking about, I took Ben to be in a movie. He was a background. And I thought, well, what if I get there and somebody sees me and says, you should be a star? I don't know why y'all are laughing so hard. But the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Derek, what if they did? What if they said, you will match this part perfectly what we need? What would that do to your life? What would that do if they decided that you should be in Hollywood? Right? What would it do?" And you say, well, it was never a reality. You're right, it wasn't. But God took that thought, and he said, "What if that does happen? What will you say? Are you so enticed by chasing something like that," which, by the way, I'm not, "that you would give up everything you've got?" You know, what is the, I can't think of the song, "I'd rather have Jesus than anything." Y'all know the story behind that song? And it was that this man was offered this big contract in singing. And it was big money. And somebody said, "Well, why didn't you take it?" He said, "I'd rather have Jesus than riches and gold. Silver and gold and riches untold." He wrote that song because he was faced with a decision. If he would serve God with the talents that God had given him, or if he would follow money. And as we look here, Jesus is saying, you know, we say it matters what we eat and it matters what we wear. And I believe that to some extent we need to present ourselves well and we need to eat right. Don't you agree with that? But sometimes it becomes the most important thing. And he's discouraging them from that. Life is more than meat. The body is more than raiment. Verse 24, he says, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. Neither have storehouse nor barn." They're not saving up. They're not storing it. They don't think about that. As we sat yesterday in the luncheon and talked about, I think it was the topic was what we were eating. You know, and said, well, you're 90 years old or 87 years old. Does it really matter if you eat a candy bar? Well, hey, how about this? You're only whatever age you are. Does it really matter? Guys, I don't know that I'll be 87. I hope the Lord comes back by then. And I look for him. But you know, we keep thinking that just when you get older, then you got to protect every day. No, today we need to live every day. We need to live it out to its fullest, because I don't know how long I'll live. You don't know how long you'll live. We see people that are sick and we say, well, you know, maybe they'll die. Yeah, maybe you'll die. And the truth is, we all will unless Jesus comes back. Consider the raven. Look at how they just live and they don't have an expectation of building up storage. They just live in their lives. And I think it does us good. One day I was sitting in the bank. I was in college in Brandon and pulled up to the drive-thru and there were cows out there. Brother Thurman, I looked at those cows and they were just out there chewing their cud. They were happy as they could be. I thought, boy, I wish I was a cow. But you look, I probably did eat him later, but you know, but you look at life and their expectations and our expectations and the world's expectations. Guys, what really matters? And that's what this is about. Our priorities. What are our priorities? Are we trusting God for His supply? He says they neither sow nor reap. They don't plant fields, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. And I love this part. How much more are ye better than the fowls? We matter to God. We talked about it this morning, how that God made us, and God made you. You matter to God. And He wants that close fellowship with you. He wants that spiritual embrace. He wants to know you love Him. Do you ever just sing to Jesus during the day? Just sing to the Lord and just spend some time with Him and just fellowship and communion, and it's just the two of you? Maybe as you drive down the road or as you go about your day, just spending time with Him. That's what He wants. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Now, that's a lot, actually. You know, I mean, we have had Sharon's grandson in church this morning. That's a big boy, isn't it? And you talk, you know, you say, well, God can't use me because I'm too short. That's not what He said here. God can use us as we are. He made us who we are. He made us as we are. And if we'll give that to Him, let's see what He'll do with it. We see about these investments. Why don't we give ourselves to God and see what He can do? He can do great and wonderful and unbelievable things if we'll surrender. You know, we recently talked in the book of Acts in Sunday school about Ananias and Sapphira. You remember them. And everybody was selling everything they had, and they had all things in common. And then this couple went out and sold some land, and they agreed. They said, well, we're going to give this much to the communion, to the church, to community. And we're going to keep a little in our pockets just in case. Of course, we know they died because Peter said they conspired to lie to the Holy Ghost. But you know what that message, that it's not a parable, it's a history, it's a story. But you know what that really was about? The question is, are we giving our all or are we not? Are we holding something back? Are we all in for Christ, or are we kind of on the fence a little bit? And that's no way to live. We need to be all in. When we got saved and we said, God, I give myself to you, did we really? Or did we lie and hold back some? I'm going to give you this part of my life, God, but this part I'm going to hold back. That's really the question. That's really the message. By our desire, we can't make ourselves taller or change the color of our hair. I know you can buy that stuff, but you can't just think it different colors. Right? It doesn't work that way. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies. How they grow. How do they grow? Is there effort? Do they try? No, they abide in the root. Isn't that what Jesus said? If ye abide in me and my word abides in you. if we just abide in Him, that's what we need. I know that we're all the time reading books and listening to conferences and preaching and teaching and ideas and strategies about how to be a better Christian. You know what the best Christian does? Just looks to God every morning and says, Lord, what do you have me to do today? What would you have for me to do today? And when the Holy Spirit touches our heart and says, talk to that one about Christ. And I gave a challenge this morning to just reach one person this week that you share the gospel with, one person. Preferably somebody you know, but even if it's not, even if it's a stranger, one person. And here's what's going to happen. As we think about that and we accept that challenge, the Holy Ghost is going to prick our heart at the right time and say, there's your target. And then are we going to go up to him and say, you know, the Lord just spoke to me and I just want to ask you if you know Jesus. You know, it was just on my heart that I share Christ with you. Hey, I just wanted you to know I'm a believer and I wanted to ask if you are too. And then you can delve a little bit further because most of the time people will just say, oh yeah, I am. And go away. But if it's somebody you know, friend, sit with me. And I want to have a cup of coffee or I want to sit down with you. I want to ask you a question. Guys, that's all it is. The Holy Ghost will tell you which one. And then once we understand that one, you know what the Holy Ghost is going to do? He's going to say, now let's go find the next one. That was not as hard as you thought it would be. And the Holy Ghost will get to us and say, okay, now that one. And we have to learn to be very aware of the voice of God. And I've told you the story of a lady that was in the church and she was dying and I was going to go see her, but I wanted to go home and change first. And I drove right by her road and it was as if the Lord was pulling me to go. And I said, but God, I'm going to go home and change. I'm not dressed. I want to go appropriately. Well, 5 minutes down the road, they called and said she passed away. You know where I would have been when she passed away if I'd listened to God? Right by her bedside. Of all the times I had gone to the hospital at midnight when the family called and said, it's time, and she didn't die, the one time when the Holy Ghost called and said, it's time, I didn't listen. Now, I know she's in heaven, and that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is I ignored God. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Just accepting the beauty that God has given us. The unique beauty, yes, that God has given us. And accepting his call and obeying him. Verse 28, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. You ever drive by a field and just look at it? Especially this time of year, stuff starting to bloom and all that yellow, beautiful stuff that's on my truck out there and keeping me up at night. But all the pollen and all the flowers and the leaves are starting to, I know the trees, they just look naked out there, but all that'll be full in a little while. And the flowers, the dandelions, the daisies, everything popping up all over the place. Just free beauty. God just put it there for us to look at. And for the honeybees, right? But he did all that, and God just did that. Does it really serve a purpose? Well, it does in the natural ecology of an environment, but the truth is it's there for the beauty. We get to look at it too. God didn't have to make it pretty just to make it useful. It's obvious when you look at me. See, that was a joke and you didn't laugh. And so he says, how much more will he clothe you, oh, you little faith? Verse 29, and seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. Don't be so worried and caught up and obsessed with stuff that's going to be gone. All right? We worry about what we're going to eat and then we eat it. Work all that time, hours, getting everything ready, and it's gone in 10 minutes. Not only that, but in the next day, it's completely gone. Right? It just, we ate it, and now we're hungry again. And we put so much emphasis on food and filling our belly for the moment, and then we're hungry again a couple of hours. And God said, that's what we invest our lives in? That's really what's so important? And our clothing? And our appearance? Verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. We're not alone. Your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Well, I got to feed my kids. Yes, that's true. We do. And I got to take care of my family. Yes, the Bible says we should. But let's not worry about it. Let's not be obsessed by it. Let's not be destroyed by it. Let's not make that the number one thing we're concerned about. You know what he said? He says in verse number 31, seek ye the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. If we just desire to serve God, how do we serve God? How do I serve God? I can't shake his hand and hug his neck, kneel beside his bedside. We serve God by serving others. We serve God by loving his people. We serve God by sharing his message. We serve God by showing his glory. We serve God by living that disciplined Christian biblical life and showing people, hey, God's way does work. We serve God by showing our peace on the outside. Not a fake peace. Not pretending to be okay when it's not okay. But putting our trust in God, because while we may have moments of confusion or of weeping or of sorrow, we know that all things are in God's hands. And there are things we cannot control. This chapter is about worry. This text is about worry. We read yesterday a folding of the hands, and it destroys us. We just worry. Oh, we wring our hands and just worry about things. Have you ever accomplished anything by worry? Have you ever solved any problem by stressing? No, we haven't. Verse 33, he says, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, and treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, we receive requests all the time from people who have needs. And sometimes we have to say no. Sometimes those needs just continue until it reaches a point where you realize you've become the provider and the enabler. And sometimes, it does happen, you just run out of money. There's nothing left to give. Sometimes that happens. We need to put our faith in God. We need to trust in Him. Just live for Him and see what God will do. And I've told you the story, and it'll be the last story I tell. How's that? I went to a church member's house, it was of the church, and sat down at her dining room table and saw her power bill, and it was overdue. And as I could do at that time and would do, I thought, well, I'm just going to slip this in my pocket and go pay her power bill for her. And God spoke to my heart and he said, why don't you wait and see what I will do? Why are you always trying to do everything instead of just waiting and letting her depend on me? I said, okay. And God worked it out. You know how I know he worked it out? Because she never called and asked me if I'd pay it. God worked it out. We've got to let God lead us in those things. We've got to trust him, trust his voice. Are we spending our eternity? He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I want you to know, that's why I feel like the money that I've got, I share. I know that we have to prepare for the future, but I believe it's here today to be distributed and used, not to be hoarded. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So all of those people that I've helped in my life, you know, my heart is with them. I've invested in them. I want God to bless them. I want to see them get out of the rut, the hole that they're in. More so than that, I want to see God do great things in the church. We're investors in this ministry. I want to see great things happen. I want to see souls saved and lives changed, hearts renewed and refreshed and revived. All those things. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The reality is we should be investing in eternity. Eternity. Those missionaries that we listed on the back of the bulletin today, and thank you for that, it shows that our interest is not just here, but it's all around the world. A broad interest in souls being saved. Verse 35, finally, this is it. Let your loins be girt about, and your light's burning. There's a big story behind that, but I told you I wouldn't tell any more stories. So. Ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Are we watching? You ever look at the clouds and think, maybe this is it? Maybe this is the preparation, this sky that he's got is the backdrop for his return. What a day that will be. Verse 38, if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. Verse 40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. We need to get our priorities in order. Worry never made anything better. So are we compassionate to those in need? Are we ready? Key, are we ready to face the Savior? Would you stand tonight? God, we love you. We thank you for this time we've had in your word tonight, and pray you'll dismiss us now with your grace. Forgive our sins and make us useful. Show us the opportunities this week to share the gospel and to share your love. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.